The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We welcome you today. Let us know where you guys are joining us from, again, if you're new to the broadcast. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, on our segment today, on this Wednesday, I want to be dealing with the three levels in the walk of the believer. Three levels in the walk of the believer. I believe this will be an encouraging word, and I pray that it's a provoking word and a challenging word to you today, because I believe everyone who's watching this is going to be one of these three categories or these three levels of a believer. So having said that, our context today is, and we're going to go to other scripture, obviously, but John chapter 12, 23 through 32, John chapter 12, 23 through 32. You can follow us there with your Bible, whether it's on an app or whatever you want to do, or we'll just want to read this scripture to you. And then we're going to expound on this today. Again, this is John 12. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And he's talking about he's about to endure the death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to what he says. "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So you could see here, he's talking to the disciples and he's explaining to them the death, burial, and resurrection that he's about to endure. And then he shifts gears and tells them that if they desire to follow after him, that they too are going to have to endure hardship. And if they desire to keep their life and obtain their life, they will lose it. But if they completely die to themselves, take up their cross and follow after him, they will have life eternally. And then he shifts gears, and then he starts talking directly to his Father and says, "For this hour I've come for my purpose." And he says, "Glorify your name, Father." And listen what happens in verse 28. "Then a voice came from heaven saying," so there was an actual voice speaking from heaven, which was the Father speaking unto the Son, saying, quote, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, I want to emphasize this, because you're going to understand why I'm emphasizing this when we get into this teaching or this message today. Again, a voice spoke from heaven. It was the voice of the Father saying, quote, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And listen to verse 29 of John chapter 12. "Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it." Somebody say, people that were there heard it. There was a group of people, and we know that the disciples made up those people there as well. And it says those people that stood by and heard it said that, listen to this, "it had thundered." Others said, quote, "an angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered and said, "This voice," I said voice, it wasn't thunder, but watch this, "and it wasn't an angel. This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." Let me say that again. "This voice did not come because of me, but it came for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now we know, based on interpretation of this scripture, this voice was not thunder. It was not an angel, but it was the voice of the Father. It was the same voice that was speaking when John was baptizing Jesus at the River Jordan and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I've well pleased." So we know that, we recognize this. But it's interesting to me that there was a group of individuals in which his disciples was among the group. And among the group, there was three separate groups. One group, listen to this, all of them heard something. But one group said, "Was that thunder?" Another group said, "That was something supernatural. It may have been an angel." And another group understood it as the voice of heaven or the voice of the Father. And having said that, I want to tell you today, I'm not going to spend a lot of time today. This is going to be a semi-short message today. Three types of believers are in the church today. There is the outer court believers, there's the inner court believers, and I believe there's the holy of holy believers. See, the outer court believers heard the voice, but to them it was distinguished as thunder. The inner court believers thought they heard a voice, but they understood it to be, they knew it was supernatural, but they said it when they identified it as an angel. But then there was the Holy of Holies group, and they heard a clear voice that was speaking from heaven, who was the Father. See, did you know, let me break this down to you. Did you know that we as human beings are a tripart being? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Again, I want to say that again. We are a tripart being. And this can be distinguished all the way back to the beginning of time in Genesis chapter 1:26. And then God, by the way, the word God there in Hebrew is Elohim, which is plural tense, not singular, plural tense. And then God said, this is Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us," plural tense, "make man in our," plural tense, "image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." That's Genesis 1:26. So we see all the way from the beginning in Genesis 1:26, when you and I were created, we were created by Elohim, or God, who, again, this word in Hebrew is plural tense. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are three. There is one God, but three distinctions here. And I don't want to get into this because I know the apostolics, they want to, we could get into this whole theological debate. The Lord our God, he is one. And they don't believe that there is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there's other groups that believe there's, and we could get into this whole mess, but I'm showing you scripture here that God said, "Let us." And by the way, he's not speaking of angels, because angels don't create. Nowhere in scripture does it give you an example where angels can create anything. Angels don't have the ability to draw mud out of the ground and breathe life into its nostrils and create a living being. So when it says here that God let us, who's he speaking to? God is speaking to the Son, and the Holy Spirit is present. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Yeshua, Jesus. Genesis 11, 5 and 7. Here it is. Here, this is the illustration of the Tower of Babel. Listen what it says. "But the Lord came down to see," again, same word, Elohim, came down to see the city and the tower in which the sons of men had built. This was obviously, this was spearheaded by Nimrod. And they were building the Tower of Babel in defiance of God. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Come, let us. Hear it again. He's having the same conversation. Let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. That's Genesis 11, 5 and 7. 1 John chapter 5, 7 and 8. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. The apostle wrote, quote, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. Wow. Now it all comes together. There's three that bear record and that bear witness in heaven. And he tells you who they are. This is in your Bible in 1 John 5, 7 and 8. He tells you who these three are that bear witness in heaven. Ready? The Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, let's go back. Let us create man in our image. God is a triune being. We've distinguished this. I don't know how else more I can explain this. We could do more Hebrew word studies. We could bring out, I just don't know. I don't know how to make it even more clear than this. But watch this. We were created in the image of God. Therefore, we are a tripart being. Ready? We are body, soul, and spirit. Somebody say body, soul, and spirit. The body is the flesh. This is the house. This is the Apostle Paul referred to it as a tent. This is the tent that we temporarily dwell in. And Paul talked about, the time is coming when I'll put off this tent. Put off this tent. Do you know not that your body, your flesh, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So this flesh is subject to deterioration, age, and decay. Let me say that again. This body, this flesh, which is one of a three-part triune of what we are, makeover, our flesh portion of us, is subject to deterioration, aging, and decay. And we can thank Grandpa Adam for that, because in the beginning, we were not created to decay. We were not created to deteriorate. We were created to live eternally like God, and we still are, but even in the flesh. This is why when you get a cut on your body was created to quickly begin to release what it needs to release to begin to heal itself. The red blood cells begin to act accordingly. Your white blood count, your blood coursing through your veins, all these things begin to work in harmony and unison. What? To heal itself. That's why you have scars on your body where your body heals itself. Hello, your immunity. Your immune system that God put in you is to help you ward off and fight off viruses, pestilences, and diseases. And it's actually healthy for you to be exposed to bacteria and viruses at an early age so that your body can naturally build up its immune system so that it can function and do what it was created to do. So it's no wonder the enemy would like to disable that capability in our bodies. Oh, I'm just going to have to behave and be quiet right here before I get myself in trouble and get back onto this triune being of the body, soul, and spirit. So let's just move on to the soul. The soul of you is, what is the soul of us? The soul of you is the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is where our five senses operate from. The soul of an individual can be pure. Listen to this, guys. I wrote this down in my notes. The soul of individuals can be pure or they can be corrupt depending on what the individual exposes and opens themselves up to at their own will. Let me read that again if you're taking notes and say that really slow. The soul of every individual can be either pure or corrupt depending on what that individual exposes and opens themselves up to at their own will. Do you want me to provide scripture for it? Because listen, of course I'm not going to tell you something if I can't back it up by the word. So let me give you the scripture for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Listen to this. I wrote this down. This is so good. Listen to this. Your soul, I'm talking about your soul here. This is the area that most believers battle with on a daily basis. Let me say that again. This is the area that most believers battle with on a daily basis. This is their struggle. Not Satan, not demons, not principalities, but their own flesh and things that war against their soul or their mind, will, and emotions. Let me give you more scripture. Romans 7, 22 through 23. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, listen what Paul said about himself, his own walk with God. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. What's that? That's the spirit man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. You know what that is? His soul. His flesh and soul are warring against his spirit. His spirit wants to serve God. His spirit wants to pray. His spirit wants to go to the church. Come on, go to church and be and assemble himself together with other believers. His spirit man wants to be in the presence of God, but it's his soul. It's his flesh. It's his will. It's the battle of his emotions that he's contending with. Listen to this, 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lust, listen to this, which war against the soul. What do these things war against? The soul of an individual. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. This is not the myocardium of an individual or the beating of in your chest. This is talking about guarding your heart, your spirit man, guarding your mind, will, and emotions, guarding your eye gate, guarding your ear gate, what you're seeing, what you watch, what you hear, what you partake of. In Acts 23, verse 1, Paul refers to the conscience. You ever heard anybody talk about my conscience bothers me? I can't do that because it goes against my conscience. Well, guys, what is the conscience? The conscience is your soul that God put in you and put in every individual. The Bible says that God put eternity in the hearts of man. The soul and spirit are intertwined together. In fact, the word soul in Hebrew is the Hebrew word nephesh, and it actually means life force. This is what messes up atheists because they can't answer this question. If we are the product of slime and time, how come when an organ fails in our body or a heart stops beating and eventually we everything stops, why can't you just wind the watch and we come back? Because, ready for this? Because the nephesh, the life force within the body, is removed. It's done. And watch this. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what your Bible says. So what are we talking about? We're talking about body. We're talking about soul. Now we're talking about spirit. The Hebrew word for spirit here is ruach. Ruach meaning wind, breath, and spirit. This is in essence the holy of holies of the believer. Watch this. And the Lord, this is Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the ruach, breathed it into him. And man became a living being. Genesis 2:7. In the Hebrew understanding of this, I'm about to blow your mind. Ready? When I was putting this together in this study, this just really got me right here, which I've known this for a while, but I did a little bit deeper study on this. On the Hebrew reading of this or understanding of this, if you would, on that level, the word, listen to this, in Hebrew, it actually reads breath of life. It actually means, it reads breath of lives, plural tense. Here's why. Ready? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Thus, Adam not only carried his own blood, but he possessed in his blood all of his lineage that would come from his bloodline. That's why when Cain slew Abel and he tried to hide the body, the Bible says that the blood of Abel was crying out unto the Lord, because, come on, his lineage was in his blood. So the voice of his blood's plural tense, his seed, all his sons and daughters and every lineage that would ever be that was in his blood was crying, because your blood has a voice. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood has a voice to it. Why do you think in the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God is being poured out, when the bowl judgments are being opened, when the bowl judgments are coming out, you can read it in the book of Revelation. It says that God will avenge the blood of the martyrs who have cried out night and day. So even though they've been martyred for thousands of years, their blood seeps into the earth and their blood is still crying out to avenge their blood. And I got it. And I'm going to tell you something. Eventually that is going to happen, my friends. Whew. So let me ask you this. Where is the spirit located? And I know some of y'all are saying, what in the world does this got to do with the three levels of the believer? I'm putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, because when I get to the end of this thing, it's all going to make sense. Where is the spirit located? I believe, based on scripture, your spirit is in your belly. It's in this area right here. I don't know if you can see me on camera right here. In your belly. Now, let me give you the verses of why I believe that. Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says, out of your belly shall flow. Or I'm sorry, no, not Proverbs 20, 27. Proverbs 20, 27 says, the spirit of a man. Listen, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the what? Belly. Inward parts of the belly. And then we know the scripture says, out of your belly, I just got them backwards there. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, where does the rivers of living water come from? It comes from the spirit. So let's recap this real quick before we put the period on the end of this thing. All right, number one, we've learned that in the book of John, there was a supernatural event that took place where the Heavenly Father was speaking to his son and his voice was heard, but there was three distinct groups of individuals, even though they were all there. One heard thunder, or what they thought was thunder. One heard what they thought was the voice of an angel. And there was a remnant that said, no, we understand that. And we understood that is the voice of the Heavenly Father. So we see there's a distinction of three different groups. We've seen now that there is a distinction that we are one body, but we're made up of three distinct parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. But I want to take you all the way back to the tabernacle of Moses. This is an absolute picture of this. In the tabernacle of Moses, there was what was called the outer court. There was what was called the inner court. And there was what was called the Holy of Holies. And this is an absolute picture of what I just showed you of the human body. There's three levels here. The flesh represents the outer court. This is the part that that is exposed to natural sunlight. It's exposed to the elements. It's exposed to decay, to deterioration. It relies on the five senses: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, all that stuff. That's the outer court. But then you have the Holy of Holies. This is the soul of the individuals. This goes a little bit deeper. This is the mind, will, and emotions. So in the inner court, you no longer had the natural sunlight, but you relied on the menorah that illuminated the inner court of the tabernacle. And this is why Paul said, transform your mind, the renewing of your mind, by transformation of the word of God. The menorah represents the word of God because it illuminates us. Again, I've said this before. When you and I get saved, we have the same flesh. Because remember, what did the 1 Corinthians say? Do you not know that you... Melinda said this live right here on Facebook. She's one step ahead of me. She's preaching my message for me. Do you know not that your body, come on somebody, is the temple of God? So he distinctively tells you that. So listen, we carry this temple everywhere we go. So we carry the outer court with us. We carry the inner court with us. And then we carry the Holy of Holies with us, which is the spirit in us. Now watch this. Those three distinct individuals that I told you about in John 12 can be found and summed up in the makeover of the tabernacle. Outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. Watch this. Where are you residing today in your walk with God? Are you hanging out in the outer court? Are you hanging out in the inner court? Are you hanging out in the Holy of Holies? Let me explain. See, the outer court represents the group that heard this. They heard something, but they rationalized this as thunder. They identified it as thunder. They said, this is something natural. The outer court was illuminated by the natural sunlight provided and was a place, again, where all five senses were used. This group of believers represents those who attend church, but listen to this. They attend church, but they even have a Bible in their hand. They may bring a Bible, but they don't know the Word of God. They have it with them, but not in them. They have the logos, which is the written word, but they never have a rhema word because they don't allow what's on the pages to get on the inside of them. They don't have much faith, and they have a surface level of understanding of the kingdom. They never step out of their comfort zones. They never stretch their faith in giving and healing and breakthrough. They are comfortable and content with Sunday morning Christianity. And as long as they can keep it safe and predictable with having a relationship with God, that they can control the outcome, they are content. And sadly, this makes up the majority of believers today, Because remember, let's go back to the tabernacle of Moses. The outer court is where the common folk could go. They interacted. The outer court. You could walk. You were free to come and go as you wish. There was really no sacrifice. There was really no debt. Come on, this is this outer court mentality. So these folks will come into the church and you will have a supernatural move of God, an encounter of God, and they and the whole church is there, and you will see these three groups of individuals manifested in the church. And this is the group that will try to rationalize every supernatural thing that God does as something either not of God, done away with, or whatnot. This is the group that always want to sit by the river and put the chair down and get a nice cup of iced tea and sip on the tea. And they just like to put their toes in the water, but they never have any desire to fully step in to what God has for them. They like to observe. They like to watch. They like to criticize. They like to judge. They like to come on somebody. So therefore, it's thunder. Man, did you hear the voice of God? What? No, that was thunder. Have you ever wondered how God can show up in a church service and you've got a lot of people that were in the same service and you saw the glory of God and they're like, I didn't feel nothing. No, I didn't see it, bro. No, I was checking SportsCenter to see who was leading in the football game. Yeah, I was talking to so-and-so. I was texting. I was on TikTok. Yeah, I was falling asleep. Now, I didn't get anything. It went over. I don't get what you're saying. I mean, I did hear something, but I didn't get all that. I didn't get what you got. But then you have the inner court. The inner court was no longer illuminated by natural sunlight, but again, it relied on the illumination of the menorah. This represents believers that actually believe in the supernatural. So we move a step ahead. They believe in the supernatural. They believe in raising the dead. They believe in healing the sick. They believe in casting out devils. They believe in the word of God. Watch, but they're not seeing the fullness of God's glory in their lives. They're reading about it. They're hearing about it secondhand, but they're not actually experiencing the fullness of the glory of God. And typically it's because they're not willing to fully press through the veil and pay the price to see it fully manifested in their lives. Let me go back to John 12. Voice of God speaks, voice of the Father speaks. They heard something. They even heard a voice. And they said, whoa, did you hear that? That's the voice of an angel. So they embraced the supernatural. They understood the supernatural and they said it was an angel. So they don't deny the supernatural of God. So you could talk to them about healing, miracles, demons cast out, supernatural. And they're not the sensationist in the church. They're not the ones that go around telling you that God doesn't heal today and God doesn't do all that today. They believe it. They embrace it. But they're not. But when push comes to shove, they're not willing to press in through the veil for that to operate in their own lives. Come on, guys. This is not a rebuke. I'm preaching to myself, guys. There's been times in my life that I've seen miracles. I've operated in supernatural and in the gifts, and I've seen these things manifested. But I can also tell you that there's times in my own walk with God that even though I pierced that veil from the outer court to get into the inner court, I was not willing to pay the price to remain in the inner court. Therefore, for a season, I was seeing this stuff in my life, but I wasn't willing to sustain it because it was far more comfortable to dwell in the outer court, because after all, at the outer court is where most Christians and most believers are. And watch this. But once, oh, come on, somebody. But once you pierce the veil from the outer court to the inner court, and you begin to experience and see the supernatural, even though you may start going back out the veil and going back to the outer court, you will be miserable because you've tasted and you've seen of the glory of God, and you can no longer, come on, be sustained through common, normal Christianity. And so therefore, you'll be miserable. Therefore, when you go out with your group of friends who like to dwell and hang out in the outer court, and once you've tasted of the inner court, and come on, the revelation of God's word, and it's illuminated your mind, and you try to go back to the outer court and hang out with these folks that go and watch any kind of movie, they go and do things, and the Spirit of God's convicted you, you can't do that. And so there's this war and there's this struggle. And you say, God, how come everybody else can do this, but I can't? Let me tell you why. Because you have pierced the veil, and you have tasted and seen that the God is good, and you've tasted of the deeper things of God. Come on, deep calls unto deep. And therefore, you're not satisfied with that. Yeah, it's fun for a season. And you'll go and you'll put on a front, you'll put on a mask, and you'll suppress, you'll quench, you'll grieve, and you'll vex the Holy Spirit and just do whatever you want to do. But friends, listen, He loves you too much, and you've tasted of too much of Him that you won't remain there. Eventually, you're going to get fed up with normal. You're going to get fed up with some kind of a sickness that you can't get rid of. You're going to get fed up with being broke and can't get the breakthrough. You're going to get fed up with the devil beating up your marriage and can't get deliverance over. You're going to get fed up with some bondage that you can't get freed of. And once you get fed up knowing that beyond the veil is the breakthrough, is the healing, is the deliverance, and is the provision, and is the reconciliation, friends, you will run through the veil to get to the other side. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3:13-16. 2 Corinthians 3:13-16. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. Did you know that? Go back and read the Old Testament. Go back and read the book of Exodus. These people that dwelled and lived in the outer court, they said, Moses, we need to hear from God, but we're not willing to pay the price. So we need you to go in and press the veil and get a word for us. Can I tell you, listen, guys, you know what's got us in trouble in the body of Christ, and the reason why we're losing credibility in the voice of the prophetic and the voice of all and the voice of the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and even all throughout the body of Christ? The reason why we're losing credibility is because too many people are not willing to press the veil and hear God's voice for themselves, but they're relying on somebody else to go in and pay the price and hear God's voice. And if, God forbid, they miss it, and they thought they heard the voice of the Father, but instead they heard some thunder and they heard some rattling and they heard the enemy whispering to them, and they came back and gave a false prophecy, a false sense of hope, or a word that was not of God, and everybody embraced it because they have no discernment, because they're not willing to pay the price. Therefore, when that fails, they lose out on God. Oh, I'm preaching better than some people are listening today. I'm trying to tell you, watch this. Their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. The veil is removed in Christ. But listen to this, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 3. But even to this day, when Moses is read, what is Moses read? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. When the Torah is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. You know what that tells me, guys? The more of Jesus I get, the more that the veil is removed. You want more of the veil removed? Get more of Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. So we have the outer court. This is the group that heard something, but they said, oh, that's thunder. That's thunder because of their level of devotion that they had and their walk with God. They recognized and understood the supernatural and identified it as thunder in their life. But then there's a second group, and they've pierced this veil, and they're dwelling out. They're in the Word. They're in His presence, and they have enough of God to recognize, wait a minute, that wasn't thunder. That's an angel of God. That's supernatural. But then, oh, come on. But then listen to this. But then there's the final veil. And this is the most sacred level that a believer can walk in. Because once this veil is pierced, listen, this was so holy and so sacred that the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, had to go through such a ritual of cleansing and separation and consecration that he even tied a rope around his ankle that had a bell on it, so that in the event that he passed through the veil and that he wasn't living right and the bell stopped ringing, meaning he dropped dead in the presence of God, that the others on the other side would pull him out. This is the level where there is no longer natural sunlight and there's no longer a menorah. It is pitch dark, and the light that illuminates this, what we call the secret place, is the glory of God Himself. I remember a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. He was seeking the face of God, and he was hungry. He was tired of living in the outer court. He was tired of living in the inner court, tired of seeing miracles, hearing miracles, reading about miracles. And he said, God, there's got to be more. I want to pierce the veil, and I want God to use me in signs, wonders, and miracles in my own life. So he went and got a notebook and a pencil. Actually, he didn't even have a notebook. He locked himself in a closet, and he tore a piece of a cardboard off. And he said, he locked himself in his closet. He told his wife, do not let me out of this closet until I've had an encounter with God. He said, even if I try to cry, get out of this closet. He said, I am not coming out until I touch heaven, until I have an encounter with God. He locks himself in this closet. He takes out this piece of cardboard that he rips off a box, and he begins to ask the Lord transparently. He said, God, show me what I have to do and what it's going to take to pierce the veil and to see this working in my life. And here's the most profound thing. There was a little lamp that he had in the closet, and he turned out the light. There was a lamp in the closet that he would have lit so he could see. In his own account, and I have this in a book somewhere on my shelf, he talks about how he was in there for 30 minutes, and then he was in there for an hour, and then he was in there for 2 hours. And then he said it seemed like time went on, but it kind of stood still. He says all of a sudden the presence of God would get stronger, and then it would get stronger, and then it would get stronger. And he said all of a sudden there was like a fog in the room, and then there was this, the closet began to illuminate brighter than it ever had been. And he said at one point he even looked over and realized that the lamp was no longer lit. Somehow it got unplugged or the bulb went out, but the entire closet was illuminated, and God began to speak to him, and he wrote down 10 things. He wrote down 10 things on this piece of cardboard that he had to do in his life. And if he did these 10 things, then God would show up in his life and he would begin to see the supernatural of God. And in his own book, in his own journal, there were some things that he was permitted to speak about, but he, watch this, but he said there were some things that was so holy and so personal and so sacred that he could not even tell his own wife what they were. And God spoke to him in the presence, come on, of his glory, and revealed to him that if you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles and the supernatural of God and all that God has for you, this is the price you've got to pay. Who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his heart to an idol? And I feel the glory of God just coming on me, just talking about this today. Listen, friends, I'm telling you, there is a place called the Holy of Holies. I wish I could tell you that I have pitched my tent there and that is my permanent residence, but it's not. I'm ashamed to tell you that it's not. Do I want it to be? Yes. But I know there's a price I've got to pay to remain in this place, to remain. See, a lot of churches know how to get God's attention. They know how to get him to show up, but they fail to keep him there. We had a powerful service. God showed up, but where's he at next Sunday? He's not there anymore. Come on, we've got to learn what we've got to do. Come on, to steward a place where God sets up his throne in our home, sets up our throne in our church, sets up our throne in our families. Listen, there's a place where the veil is pierced, where you are in direct presence of God. There's no distractions. Come on, there's no TikTok, there's no Facebook, there's no CNN, there's no Fox News, there's no propaganda, there's none of this. You shut it all off and you're in direct contact with the presence and the glory of God. And here, when you get into this place and you hear something from heaven, you know immediately that is not thunder. That is not an angel. That is the voice of the Father. And you can clearly distinguish it. Listen to this. John 10:27, the Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The voice of a stranger they know not, nor will they follow. Listen, the reason why we got so many Christians falling victim to false prophets, false apostles, and false teachers is because they are acquainted and accustomed to a voice that is not of the true shepherd. And they're following that voice. John 16:13, this is my final scripture. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you and show you things to come. So guys, why am I talking about this today? You've heard me. Last week, I told you that I believe that we are embarking into some tumultuous and trying times, and I believe in the next 6 months. And listen to me, there's every day I get questions. Should I do this? Should I not do this? How should I do this? Where should I go? Should I? Would I? Could I? All the time. And it is imperative for you and I, us, to be willing to pierce the veil and go deeper with him to where we can distinguish, recognize, and obey the voice of the Lord. Because there is voices that are speaking everywhere. Voices from the mainstream media. Voices of, again, false prophets. voices of false apostles, voices of teachers, voices of the council of the world. There's voices all over the place, and we better have a relationship with Him and be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High so that we can have a direct contact with the Heavenly Father, so we can hear His voice and be led by His voice and make decisions in these trying times. Because I'm telling you, not everything is going to be black and white in this Bible. This Bible don't tell you who you're going to marry, but it tells you what kind of woman you should marry. Oh, come on, somebody. It doesn't tell you what church you should go to, but it tells you what kind of church you should go to. It's not going to tell you where you should live. It's not going to tell you whether you should take that job or not. It's not going to tell you that stuff. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is speaking today. He's leading. He's guiding. He's showing you and speaking to you things to come. Now, I know the sensationists don't believe that, but they will miss out. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is alive, He's well, and He's still operating in the earth, in the church, and in the body today. So are we willing today? So let's pray real quick, and then we're going to give you some information on how you can keep up with our ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, based upon this word that you've given me, Lord, and my devotion, Lord, I pray for all of us today. Even myself today, even my family today, even all those that are watching today, those that are listening today, God, help us today by the Holy Spirit. Help us to be willing to lay down, cut loose, and depart from whatever and whoever that is hindering us from hearing the authentic, pure voice of the Father. Lord, we want to distinguish whether it's the voice of the thief or the voice of the true shepherd. Lord, we want to have discernment. You said to not believe every spirit, but to try the spirits and to see whether they're of God. And Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to do that today. I believe you're going to speak to us today. You're going to speak to some folks today and all of us, and you're going to show us those things by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. You're going to show us those things which are preventing us from piercing the veil, whether it's relationships, whether it's obstacles, whether it's hindrances, whether it's substances, whether it's habits, whether it's addictions, whether it's entertainment, whatever the case may be, Lord, you're helping us to lay down every sin, come on, every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we can run the race that's set before us. And Father, we thank you for this today. We receive this word today. And Lord, may we operate and walk in this word today by your grace and by your power. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Guys, listen, again, thank you so much for taking the time today to hop onto this broadcast. We want to give you the opportunity, as always, to keep up with us, what we're doing, what we're about, where we're going. And when you can do that, several ways. You can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please go there today. Subscribe to the main website, bookmark the website. Guys, it's not that difficult to do that. You'd be shocked at the amount of people on social media. They're like, well, I'm not on Facebook anymore, and I don't know where to find you. I'm like, really? We have a website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Listen, we have a free app. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Android. Please download that app today. Get it into your hands. Again, it's absolutely free. It's for your benefit to keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest messages that you can listen on podcasts or you can watch on our YouTube channel. All that is accessible right there on the app, guys. All there, right there in front of you on that app when you download that app. So please do that today. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing, edification, equipping, encouragement to you on a week-to-week basis, We've been doing this over 10 years now, and by the Lord's help, by His grace, and with the help of our supporting partners, we're going to continue to remain strong. And you can be a part of that. You can be a part of the team. You can help us support this ministry. And you can do that by two different ways. You can either give electronically, and you can do that by the app or by the main website, or you can do it by check or money order. And you can do that. If you're giving by check or money order, you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen. P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So that's how you can, again, give electronically or give by check or money order. And as always, guys, we want to personally thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support of this ministry to help us remain strong. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to be back here on Friday, Lord willing, and we will close out our Friday with either another encouraging word like this, or we may give you a prophetic viewpoint dealing with the latest headlines going on from a prophetic perspective. So we'll pray about that. Either way, we are planning on being here Friday. So until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may His countenance be upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.